You're tuned to 88.5 FM. This is listener-supported, non-commercial KQED Radio, San Francisco. The time is now 1 o'clock.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air. I'm Ken Tucker, critic at large for Entertainment Weekly, sitting in for Terry Gross. Today, an archive performance by Loudon Wainwright, Kate and Anna McGarrigle, and their extended family. Songs, chatter, and feuds old and new. Also, we salute Jim Kopp, a genius of children's music who died recently. And book critic Maureen Corrigan looks at Henry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, a publishing phenomenon in children's literature. That's all coming up on today's Fresh Air. My family and I have spent a lot of time in the car listening to this frightening teacher berate her students.
I don't know what is the matter with you children this morning,
Miss Goggins was saying.
You are stupid, unruly, disobedient, and vile to pretend. We shall continue with the singing lesson.
She seated herself elegantly at the piano.
Creator of that bit of incisive whimsy was Jim Kopp, who, it was announced this week, died recently. He was 85. Kopp was a true American original, a witty purveyor of purposeful nonsense, best known for a series of children's recordings he made between 1958 and 71, featuring characters like stubborn little Kate Higgins, who refuses to take her pill, and a terribly grouchy teacher named Miss Goggins, whom you just heard. All voices provided by Jim Kopp and his partner Ed Brown. Kopp led a remarkable life, and we invited his business associate, Ted Leahy, to talk a little about him. He worked with very primitive equipment to create some pretty sophisticated sound effects, didn't he?
He did. He had a system where he took three monaural open-reel Ampex tape recorders, and he would have his voice on one of the decks, and he would have his original music on another one, and then a third with sound effects, and he would roll them all together and create these lush layers of sound. And it also involved a lot of use of a razor blade and splicing tape. The original master tapes have hundreds of splices in them.
Really? So the cut we played earlier, Miss Goggins and the Gorilla, when we hear the voices of all these little school children singing out of tune, that's Kopp and his partner Ed Brown?
Well, at that point, for Jim Copptails, it was just Jim's voice, and I believe he overdubbed that 30 times.
Wow.
All of those fourth graders singing are the voice of Jim Kopp.
That's terrific. Now, as I understand it, Jim Kopp was discovered by John Hammond, the legendary talent scout?
That's true. Back in New York City in the early 1940s, John Hammond somehow got wind of Jim Kopp and his act, which Jim called James Kopp III and his things, and booked him at a couple of nightclubs there in Manhattan, the Cafe Society Uptown and Downtown.
What kind of songs was he performing?
Boy, he was labeled a surrealist, but I don't know that Jim went along with that. But they were definitely bizarre. It consisted of him sitting at his pump organ. And you have to picture a man about, I think, 6'3 or 6'4 over this little toy pump organ doing these numbers with titles like Peaches and Myrtle and Agnes Mouthwash and Friends. And they were kind of macabre. At that point, his material was not for children.
And how did he veer off into children's records?
Well, he had recorded a piece called The Noisy Eater, which he took to Capitol Records. And they liked the piece, but they wanted Jerry Lewis to perform it. And they did that, and they had a hit with it. But Jim got, I think, 1 or 2 cents per side and was pretty disgusted with that situation. So he started his own record company called Playhouse Records and came out with Jim Cocktails in 1958.
And so in recording for children, he had no children himself. I wonder how his instincts led him to create these songs that were very simple, direct, and really kind of appeal to kids on a very basic level.
Well, Jim claimed to me that the reason that he recorded for children is because he knew that every generation there'd be a new audience, or every 7 years or so. But I know that he has a fondness for children. It has to be true, because if you listen to his material, you can see that he really understands the sensibility of children's and is tapped into their world.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Jim Cop, will you tell me a story?
Sure. What story do you want?
About that girl who raised the dickens. You know the one I mean.
Okay, I will. Kate Higgins, I regret to state, grew mutinous one night at 8, and stamped her foot and screamed and cried and punched her father in the side. Papa was stern. Kate, I shall thank you to take your pill before I spank you. You've been quite sick. It's getting late. Now take your pill. I won't, said Kate. And dancing forth with utter glee, she kicked her mother in the knee. Then running from the room, she hid. Yes, that is what Kate Higgins did.
Naughty Kate, wicked Kate, really makes me most irate. You mean to say she ran and hid?
I do indeed. That's what she did. Now everybody dance. Everybody dance.
That's Kate Higgins, a performance by Jim Kopp, who we learned died recently at the age of 85. Kopp's tapes have accompanied my family's summer car trips to Maine for many years. My high school-aged daughter can still recite the entire Kate Higgins skit by heart, and it strikes me that you have to look to other media to find examples of humor as pointed yet delicate, the essays of S.J. Perlman or the movies of Buster Keaton or Preston Sturges. Jim Kopp, whose many recordings are collected on CDs and cassettes, available from Playhouse Records on the web, will remain a cult favorite, I suppose. But he also deserves to be remembered as a grown kid who retained a sense of humor, of wonder, eccentricity, and bite. This is Fresh Air.